That's Annie Lennox, as heard in the 1980s. Here's what Annie Lennox is singing now.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit.
It's an old song, Strange Fruit, about black people lynched in the South. It's one of many standards on her new album, Nostalgia.
I think it's the issue that the song is addressing that drew me to it. It isn't in a glass case in the museum. This song is going to continue.
Many men have sung the standards on this album, but so have noteworthy women like Ella Fitzgerald or Sarah Vaughan or Billie Holiday, who sang Strange Fruit. It is the women who caught the attention of the Scottish singer. Though they had such powerful voices that defined her own voice, Annie Lennox had to avoid listening to them too much.
I only listened because I wanted to learn the song. I wanted to get a sense of it and then step away quickly, like a firework, like back away, and try to kind of figure it out for myself. It's a very intimate thing to come to a song that obviously is so resonant. But for me, it was something so intuitive, and definitely it's about responding to the beauty and the core of the song. When I think about this incredible lineage of women who have been singing and writing and performing and living their lives, they've left this heritage of wonderful, hauntingly beautiful music, a legacy. And as a woman myself and as a musician and a performer, I feel that connection with these women that I have never met.
And I don't think that I'd thought of it this way. I'd thought of these as songs, but you're thinking of them as songs associated with women who've sung them before.
Yes, that was part of it. And I also thought of the voice of Billie Holiday and what she represented for people. And it was the pre-civil rights era. And what a different kind of country it was then.
You know, when Billie Holiday sings God Bless the Child, it's an emotional song. I mean, it's a beautiful song, but there's a sadness to it. In your version, at least as I listen to it, it becomes almost a celebration. Let's listen to some of that. I could listen to that a lot of times. Really,
yeah.
Beautiful. And
thank you.
There's almost a note of triumph in the way that you have arranged that and sung it.
It's like a reckoning, almost like a biblical statement about the way of the world and how the theme of those that continue to access resources and those that don't, you know, continue to not.
We talked a lot about Billie Holiday. Every one of these songs, of course, has one or more women who've sung it at different times. There are men who've sung a bunch of them as well, but you seem to be thinking about the women who've sung these before.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's my gender that brings me towards many issues and things. So I wouldn't say necessarily that there were specific women that I identified with. I was thinking more about the particular journey of being a woman in a man's world, for example, and how challenging that may have been for all female musicians, to be honest, or many women.
What has made you comment on a lot of modern music today that is being put out by women as being over-sexualized?
Well, you've said it in the question. The reason why I've commented is because I think that this overt sexuality thrust literally at particular audiences, when very often performers have a very, very young audience, like 7 years old.
Mm.
I find it disturbing, and I think it's exploitative, and it's troubling. I'm coming from the perspective of a woman that's had children, and obviously my kids have grown up now, but still.
Some people will know that you specifically criticized Beyoncé for this the other day.
Well, you know, I didn't specifically criticize Beyoncé. I was being asked about Beyoncé in the context of feminism, and I was thinking at the time about very impactful feminists who have dedicated their lives to the movement of liberating women, supporting women, at the grassroots. And I was saying, well, that's one end of the spectrum. And then you have the other end of the spectrum. So,
well, it sounds like you feel that there was a phrase that was taken and that became the headline, but you were actually trying to deliver a more involved thought.
I was. Listen, twerking is not feminism. That's what I'm referring to. It's not. It's not liberating. It's not empowering. It's a sexual thing that you're doing on a stage. It doesn't empower you. That's my feeling about it. But, you know, actually, maybe this is a good thing because it creates debate.
I'm wondering if, in a roundabout way, we're hearing why you have put out a bunch of songs from another time, because that allows you to comment on modern events, but in a more literary way or in a more metaphorical way, and not worry about the exact labels or the exact headlines that are generated.
Well, that's very beautifully put in a way. There were a lot of things that drew me to learn these songs and to translate them and to record them. One of the reasons I've done it is because I just for the love of it. And of course, I'm going to be 60, so that puts me in a sort of category, you know, older, mature person, which is fine by me.
I think 60 is the new 30 at this
30,
point.
Absolutely, it's a new 30, and it's coming up to be the new 20, actually, really soon. So watch that space. But, you know, I was born in 1954. I've lived through all these decades and seen all the changes, been witness to the collective thing that's gone on the planet. And there's a part of me kind of sometimes wants to slow it down and go back. And the one thing you cannot do, and this is inherent, the sort of irony of the title, you cannot go back. There's no turning back of the clock. You'll never do that. So a nostalgia is a dip into an imaginary space, really.
Annie Lennox, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Her new album is Nostalgia, out today.